All right, good morning, golfers. Welcome to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. Thank you for joining me this morning. It is July 29th, 2017. It's a little damp, a little cool, but still no reason why you can't go out and play golf. Pleased to be in studio, or have in studio, is Woody Lashin. How you doing, Woody?
I'm doing great, Anthony. Thanks for having me again.
Always a pleasure to have you in studio. We have a lot to discuss today. We've already been air quotes, discussing.
Smoke coming out of the GDB studios, it was exactly, me and Anthony.
Exactly. A lot to discuss this morning. It's just, whoever said golf was boring, I guess didn't follow the news or had any of these great discussions, air quotes, that we're having. But there's a lot going on in golf. You know, there's some rumblings, there's new equipment coming out all the time. So plenty to discuss, and who better to talk about equipment than your friend Mike Stratura from Golf Digest. That should be great having him on the show.
I love talking to him.
Yeah,
wealth of knowledge.
Exactly. A river unto his people, that's for sure. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
The Long Island Golf Association is a nonprofit organization of 81 private and public clubs. The LIG conducts 15 championships annually and works closely with the Long Island Caddy Scholarship Fund. The scholarships are granted to young men and women who are employed at member clubs. For more information on how you can participate in a championship, or if you'd like to donate your time as a volunteer, please call the LIGA at 516-746-1015. That's 516-746-1015, or visit us at www.longislandgolf.org.
Play like a pro with a custom set of PXG clubs in your bag. Designed to deliver unrivaled performance and fitted to optimize your game, PXG clubs will help you unlock your true potential. We guarantee you've never played like this before. Get fitted for PXG clubs at Pete's Golf Shop today.
All right, welcome back to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. I'm Anthony. In the studio is Woody Lashin, and on the line is Golf Digest Senior Equipment Editor Mike Stratura. Mike, thank you for joining us this morning.
My pleasure. I'm not conceding anything, despite what happened in the U.S. Girls Junior yesterday.
Yeah, that was quite a situation yesterday. I guess we could start with that. That's sort of a... it was an interesting development, and really a bad situation in which really no one wins, really.
No, that's true. It was really sad to see, and you know, quite honestly, I think you have a lot of inexperience there and a whole lot of shock, and for us to sort of ascribe adult sportsmanship and compassion and all those other things to a teenage girl or boy is a little much, and that's sort of a pressure situation. But boy, you wish somehow cooler heads would have prevailed, and that's obviously not the way the match should end. One of my favorite phrases is, We all need a commissioner of common sense in almost everything we do, and I wish there was one in that situation.
Yeah, I think, you know, for those listening who don't know what happened, girl basically rakes a putt, 4-inch putt that, you know, out of an emotional response to a missed putt. It was never conceded. There was some, one of the girl who didn't concede the putt looks over at a coach. And the coach asks, "Did you concede that?" And she says, "No." And then tries to sort of backpedal a little bit and said, "Well, I would have gave it to her anyway." And it became this little bit of a hubbub. And you know, the rule is the rule. You know that you know has to be conceded or given to you or not. And if not, you have to putt it out. And so, you know, you're right. There has to be some sort of committee of common sense. I mean, it's. It's just one of those things that gives golf rules a bad name. That's really, I don't know how else to put it.
Oh, true. And golf rules and equipment rules is something I've been following for decades. And there's certainly a lot of interesting talk we saw from the Open Championship last week, even before it started, with the RNA's Martin Slumbers, the CEO, sort of talking about distance and whether they're going to consider two sets of rules or some type of bifurcation. And again, we're way, way early days in that discussion, but...
Well, Mike, that's where the smoke was coming out of the WGB studios, because I'm against bifurcation, and Mr. Scorsese over here is for bifurcation. And I'm curious to get we'll start right in with that. I'm curious to get your thoughts.
Well, I mean, I think the problem is that we don't know where the line would be drawn, and we don't know which side. You know, are we talking about elite players having tougher rules and average golfers having current rules? Are we talking about elite players having current rules and average golfers having no rules? None of those things really make sense to me. I think there are plenty of defenses against distance as a, you know, course setup challenge. You know, are we disturbed that players can hit it 350? Yeah, I would like to see guys hit more three irons into greens, but you know, that to me is not even a 1% problem. That's like a 0.1% problem. So I think that's troubling. I mean, my course, I play a Muni course here in Trumbull, Connecticut. It just hosted, for the first time ever, a public course hosted the Connecticut State Amateur, and it's 6,600 yards, and guys were tested to the hilt. They didn't, you know, they didn't shoot 59 or anywhere near that. They didn't even break the course record, and so you're wondering, you know, this is not a global problem in golf, and I can tell you for a fact there is no way an average golfer is going to want to play a new golf ball or clubs that make them hit it shorter. And if something is changed in the rules to make that happen, the game is in much worse shape. So, I mean, I'm not in favor of bifurcation. I'm in favor of one set of rules. Now, if that means that the ruling bodies decide to make the golf ball shorter, then, you know, I'll be handing out Xerox copies of Golf Digest on 8.5 by 11 paper from the corner of the street, because there's going to be about 35 people playing golf.
So I guess my where I came in on this was, you know, as Woody told me, there's a tournament at the New York State Open.
New State Open in Bethpage Black.
Bethpage Black. And Cameron Young, the ultimate winner of that tournament, took it over the corner of Bethpage Black, number one, dogleg sort of right, and took it over the corner and was 50 yards in from the green. And I guess I'm just wondering, is that what we want to see people do from our elite players due to courses like a Bethpage Black, which is considered a pretty big ballpark on its own? Now, I know I'm not doing that, and Woody's not doing that, but if we're there for, you know, I guess the traditionalist in me would like to see him hit it to the corner, or, you know, and if he mishits it, he's got to sort of work it around that corner.
And
you know,
so my argument is that I'm going to go play Bethpage Black on Monday in a tournament, and I am going to have to hit it into the corner if I'm lucky. But I can go play the same golf course that Tiger Woods played in the U.S. Open, that held the Barclays. And, boy, if I hit one shot that is truly amazing, it was as good as or better than maybe the winner of the tournament there. Maybe I could hit a better shot than Cameron Young, and I'm doing it on the same golf course with the same equipment. Do I have his skill? Absolutely not. Do I have his power? Certainly not anymore. I might have had something like that when I was younger, but I couldn't hit it straight either. We didn't have the technology we have today. But I can play using this, and I love that. I think that's one of the great things about our sport, is that you know, Anthony go out there and he can make a hole in one on 14, and maybe he's hitting 5-iron and the tour pro was hitting wedge, but he still was able to hit a better shot using the, under the same rules. And that's why I think it's got to be the same rules. And I don't really care. Listen, I love watching the old days of U.S. Open where even par one. But if minus 15 is going to win, minus 15 is going to win. You have two sets of rules. No, you go play in a pro-am. You want to play with, whether it's a local pro-am where you're playing with the local pro, Jamie from Wheatley, or you're playing in a the Barclays pro-am. You want to play with the same equipment those guys are using. So you go, wait a minute now. Well, he's a pro, so he's using a different golf ball. Different golf ball. I want to measure myself and see how I'm doing against him.
Where do you come in on this, Mike? Because obviously Woody and I are probably going to continue this conversation long after the show's over. But where do you, but you understand the two perspectives, I guess?
Sure. We want the sort of architectural integrity to be maintained, and we want elite players to be tested in the same way generally that we're tested. You know, I think your example, if the entire field was routinely taking that line off the first tee at the Black Course at Bethpage, you know, maybe we would have an issue not with equipment rules or bifurcation. Maybe we'd have an issue with, well, maybe we need to rethink the design of this hole. Maybe we need to put, bunkers on either side of the fairway at 50 yards in, you know, kind of like how, the courses of the British Open Rota developed over the last 100 years, where they would put a bunker where balls were ending up and saying, okay, if you want to hit it this direction, you got to navigate this extra hazard. You know, to me, it's a course architect's challenge. Now, you could say, well, you don't want to completely bastardize the golf course for, you know, these rare instances. But, you know, I hear the shouts, and the, you know, we've kind of gone down this road many times, whether there needs to be a different set of rules for elite players, you know, just like Major League Baseball having wooden bats and college baseball having aluminum bats. And, you know, that's certainly an idea that has merit, but golf and baseball are two different sports when it comes to the sort of recreational attitude of its participants. And, you know, would it matter to us if elite golfers used a different ball or elite golfers had to only play steel shafts? You know, I guess, but those are kind of nipping around the edges of whatever we're trying to do. I think the game is strong enough to handle distance where it is. I mean, right now, if you look at the data, this year is on pace to be the record-setting year for average driving distance on the PGA Tour. How much is it breaking the record by? Less than 1 yard. Is this a major problem? I don't know. I mean, if they were breaking the record by 5 yards, yeah, then we have an issue. Now, you could say, okay, well, distance has increased by 25 yards in the last 20 years. Okay. Is that bad, good? It's sort of human progress, because there's really no indication that drivers are faster. You know, they're better designed. We're having better launch conditions, but that's really not something that you can legislate, other than to say, okay, we're going to make a golf ball that goes 20 yards shorter.
Well, I'm all about the better launch conditions, Mike.
Exactly. There we go. That's all. It all comes back to fitting, right? That's the real great thing. And then you could say, well, that's why everything's terrible, is because everybody's getting fit and they're all 20 yards longer. So,
you know, it's really interesting. I mean, I can remember years ago we were talking about fitting, and the golf pro would come in and he'd say, no, I want to see the ball fly at this flight. I'm like, well, if you see it to fly at that flight, it's not going to go as far. And they, no, that's where I want to see it. And then they'd come in and go, hey, I play with this young punk, and we're hitting the same iron, and he's driving it 20 yards further. Why is he driving 20 yards further? I mean, I'm like, well, pro, you're trying to hit this low through the 8th floor, and he's hitting it through the 12th floor. You know, we change. Look, but I don't want to see that flight. Okay, well, then you don't want to see 20 yards.
Yeah, and good luck hitting two clubs more into the green.
And today they are all, no one's giving up 20 yards.
No, and I just got to jump in here because I want to take a short break. But when speaking of, it was a perfect segue to our next segment because I really want to talk about, it seems like the message is finally getting through in terms of the importance of fitting and as it's reflected in some data tech information. So that just came out recently. So let's take a short break. We'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
Pete's Golf. Since 1979, Pete's Golf has been practicing the art of club fitting and has been selected as a top 100 club fitter by Golf Digest magazine. At Pete's Golf, we use the best technology available to create an exceptional fitting experience for every customer that walks into our store. Visit petesgolf.com or call 516-248-6891. That's 516-248-6891 and get your next set of clubs fit for you.
Malvies Equipment Company is the oldest distributor of power equipment on Long Island and has been serving the community for over 100 years. We have two locations for your convenience in Riverhead and Hicksville. Malvies Equipment offers a diversified line of quality products for golf, sports, and turf, including Jacobson, Redexum, Vertidrain, Smithco, and Turfco. We also carry Mahindra and New Holland tractors and construction equipment. Visit our website at malvisequipment.com or call us at 516-681-7600.
All right, welcome back to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. I'm Anthony, he's Woody Lashin, and on the line is Mike Stachura from Golf Digest. Mike, Woody brought up fitting and launch conditions, and Data Tech came out with some interesting information in terms of off the golf course, adding a new channel, basically measuring the usage of fitting establishments. And so are we finally getting to the point where people are recognizing the importance of fitting, to the point where Data Tech now has to add a new channel for fitting?
Well, I mean, I think it's clear that more people are taking advantage of what they think is fitting in terms of how they respond to surveys and certainly the availability of trying new equipment. You know, I think you can go to any golf course in America right now, and if the bags are lined up for an outing or lined up on a Saturday morning, and you can just tell the guys who've been fit for their clubs and the guys who haven't. And the percentage of those who have been fit is still shockingly low.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's still this challenge to average golfers to say, listen, the walking into the store, grabbing a club that's on display, waggling it a few times and say, yeah, this is for me, and walk into the cash register is just not the way to go about enjoying golf ultimately. So I think there's no question fitting is a much bigger part of the game than it was a decade ago or you know, essentially didn't really exist in any form or fashion in a large scale way 20 years ago. So I
whoa,
think
whoa, whoa! Wait a minute now.
Large scale, not the hidden gems that you are.
Okay.
but right, you know that I think it's known. I don't think it's still universally taken advantage of. You know the way, for instance, I don't think people take advantage of the used club end of golf in terms of trading it in as much as they should, but I think that idea has been promoted more heavily in some respects than fitting, and there's still this perception, well, I'm not good enough to get fit, And I'm saying my sense is if you went to that golf course on this Saturday morning and took all those golfers who have not been fit, first of all, none of them would get worse. And second of all, you know, I would have to say, based on my studies, 80 to 85% of them would get better.
Oh, without question. I just want to share a quick story. I just saw Kirk Aghori for a tune up at Pete's shop at Woody's shop, and we had everything going, and we were going over my data because I kind of wanted to just sort of have a tune up, and we were looking at all my launch conditions and all and yardages, and everything was good, and I was driving the ball, you know, decently enough for me, and we got some good numbers so I could sort of have an idea of how far I was hitting the ball. And I just said to them, I said, you know, what about this new driver, this X, you know, I won't say the driver. I said, this latest and greatest thing that everybody's talking about, you know, how much further would I be hitting it with that? Just not that I was looking to get it, but I was just curious. And he said, that would be a terrible driver for you. And he said, because you don't hit the ball that driver was made to help. And I'm just wondering how many people rushed to the store and got this so-called great driver, and it's not really the driver for them. And that's where I think the importance of fitting comes in.
So, Anthony, I'd like to answer that, because I think the problem is that's what happens. People say, oh, I'm going to go get fit for this driver.
Right.
No, it's not the right way to go about it, because now you've put yourself in a pigeonhole. You've got to use that driver. And if it's not a good driver for you, you can hit it shorter or maybe more crooked.
Right.
You have to go with, say, hey, I want to get a new driver. Is there something better? Let's forget the brand. Let's find something that's going to work best for my launch conditions. Me as an individual, as opposed to me saying, well, this is what the marketing is telling me. Forget the marketing. You're Anthony. You got to get what's going to work best for you. That's my whole bugaboo in the whole fitting thing, is that I believe that most of the so-called fitting is selling, not trying to help someone play better golf. And a lot of times trying to help someone play better golf is, hey, there's nothing wrong with your current equipment.
Right,
and you know, certainly the marketing end of this equation, which is a big part of golf, doesn't work if somebody walks in and says, I want this, and a fitter says, you don't need to change, even though that's the right answer. And you know, to be fair, right, we're all human beings, right? And we get excited by a big bowl of chocolate chip cookies, right? And if we had, you know, again, a commissioner of common sense would say, you don't need any more cookies.
Yes, I do.
I want cookies.
Right.
You know, that's a tough conversation to have.
Well,
the beauty is we have experts who can say, okay, if you want this new driver, here's what it's actually going to mean. You've got your current driver, we've got numbers, and we'll get you dialed in with the best way we possibly can with this driver that you want, and here's what it's going to result in. And then I think the fitter can say, go ahead and make the decision. I'm going to tell you my opinion. You're going to look at the numbers, which, let's say in this case, don't say any overwhelming advantage and perhaps even a disadvantage. And then, right, at the end of the day, the customer's always right, and he or she can make whatever decision she wants. I mean, that's the beauty of the current landscape in terms of technology, right? We can know that this driver, this set of irons, frankly, even this putter, is helping our game or not helping our game specifically by how much, and then we can make a decision. I can't make that decision with any other consumer product. So that's the beauty of where we are with golf equipment and fitting technology today.
Well, speaking about new equipment, that stuff that we're excited about, so we only got a little bit of time left here. Mike, I know you've got a chance to see the new stuff from Titleist. The new stuff from Ping is out. PXG is a new driving iron. Can they give us a little insight into to some of the new stuff that's coming this fall?
Yeah, I've seen a lot of things. We've had meetings with Mizuno, and I believe we saw the new Ping stuff in March. So wow. We've seen it. I think that, you know, what's interesting is that it's still getting better in different ways. So, you know, you talk about the Ping G400 driver. It's essentially more aerodynamic because it's perhaps slightly smaller, but it's more stable than it's ever been, and that means that essentially hits all on across a larger area of the face are going to perform better, not just in terms of ball speed, but in terms of spin consistency. So I think that's where we're seeing those sorts of improvements. You know, where low spin drivers used to be not very forgiving, you know, you have a driver like the Callaway Epic, which is a lower spin driver, which is built to be more forgiving than low spin drivers used to be. So I think we're getting more of what we want. I think driving irons, you know, let's look at that part of the bag. That whole area of long irons is open to anything. So I think the iron set is wide open these days. You can have 3-4 different kinds of, quote, irons, hybrids in your bag to make up your set. And I think, boom, that's where a fitter really helps you.
Yeah, I mean, any look at my bag, you'd see, you know, 3 different equipment companies, 4 different equipment companies, mixed models, mixed, you know, companies, and mixed models within those companies. So, you know, obviously I'm serious about playing what's best for me. And I want to thank you, Mike, for always a serious conversation with some lighthearted jabs. But thank you for joining us this morning. We're just about out of time. Really appreciate you getting up early to join us.
My pleasure. Anytime. And Woody, I need a fitting, so I'll be booking one soon.
I'm always here for you, my friend.
Great.
All right. Take care, Mike. All right, that was Mike Stachura from Golf Digest. We're going to take a short break, and we'll wrap things up. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
Play like a pro with a custom set of PXG clubs in your bag. Designed to deliver unrivaled performance and fitted to optimize your game, PXG clubs will help you unlock your true potential. We guarantee you've never played like this before. Get fitted for PXG clubs at Pete's Golf Shop today.
All right, folks. That's it for this week. Always a pleasure to have Woody Lashin in studio, co-owner of Pete's Golf Shop. Woody, thank you for joining us. What a great conversation with Mike. Obviously, he, like you said, a wealth of knowledge, but awesome to have him in to discuss some important issues.
I think we could talk to him about the bifurcation stuff forever. I would have liked to talk to him more about the new stuff that's coming out, but
yeah,
a half hour just flew by.
It does. All right, that's it, folks. Remember the importance of getting fitted, and if need be, make sure you go see your local PGA professional to play better golf. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.